This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Michael Martin and Michael Rowe. This is episode 14, Games for Cats. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Michael Rowe here this week and ready for another exciting GamesAtWork.biz podcast. Michael, it sounded like you and Phaedra had a good time last week.
We had an awesome time, but we missed you. We would really rather have had you along for the ride.
Woo-hoo!
Or for the parking lot, as the case was for Phaedra.
Yeah, yep. So you have discovered some fun stuff for us to talk about this week.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a Friday. It's hot. It's time for something maybe a little bit light. And
it was,
you know,
the end of the world earlier.
Because was it now?
When I'm working, I sit out here on my deck, which is all glassed in with a roof and all that good stuff. And
yes.
It was sunny.
Yes.
Almost no clouds in the sky.
Yes.
And it rained for 25 minutes with a blue sky with no clouds.
Hmm. Well, that's pretty nice. That's pretty nice.
That's pretty scary.
This makes one of us, because you have a window and I don't. If I crane my neck just right, I can see that there is light outside. So, yeah. So given today's, you know, kind of a light day, I guess, we were looking at the Gamasutra, that's probably how I pronounce it, website, and the art and business of making games. And there was something there that kind of caught my eye. And nothing goes better than Friday afternoons late and cat videos on the internet, especially cute ones. So this is an article here in the news section.
Yes, it is an article.
It's an exclusive.
It is an article.
It's about making video games for your cat, and that your cat wants to play.
It actually came out today.
Did it now? I guess it did.
It is. Isn't that amazing? Yes, cats playing video games, and not just any video games. These are interactive, touch-based video games.
Yes. Yes. And the what I like about the article is it treats it in a very, you know, serious manner. Serious game kind of manner, right?
Seriously.
You know, what makes a good game for a cat? So a couple of guys, TJ Fuller and Nate Murray at this developer called Hiccup, what a great name for development shop there, decided to focus on creating some games for cats, and it looks like they've created some fun iPad games for cats. And they gave five different categories of things that they thought were important in creating such a game.
Yes.
So I'll rattle through them here, because I'm guessing that, you know, many of our listeners might be in a car or might be, you know, exercising or doing other
stuff.
You mean
they're not watching the video feed?
Probably not.
Probably not.
The non-existent video feed, or
yeah,
the invisible video feed?
The invisible video feed.
Yeah, that, because you can get to that one when you use your invisible telephone.
That's right.
Yeah, so the five elements are subtle natural movements, high contrast visuals, cats love DLC, which
right.
I think that's pretty fun here too, right? So you want to go and download stuff from in-game. No pause for pause, and reward with a sound. So those are the five sections. So we'll kind of hit them in turn.
Well, you know, before we hit them specifically in turn, I actually do want to make this relevant for our listeners in a little bit more serious way, and really talk about how these, you know, somewhat joking descriptions of how to make an engaging app for a cat should actually be applied to making engaging gaming content in the work environment to get people to actually want to spend time and learn or experience or experiment leveraging gaming technology for their personal growth, education, training, et cetera.
That's where I was heading too. I mean, all the things that they're describing here do have a basis that connects you right into what you might
almost like they planned it.
almost like they planned it. So I mean, the first you know blush, you'd say, okay, Games for Cats, that's pretty silly, right? But from a marketplace point of view, from a business point of view, not entirely that silly, because there are so many things that people will buy for their pets, and the number of pets there are across, you know, the world is huge too. So yeah, not entirely that silly. But the you know, if we hit them in turn, right? And if you can imagine how these things apply directly to work, subtle natural movement. So that's the first thing. Cats are not easily fooled with something that doesn't look to be alive. You don't go fishing with a lure that doesn't act or behave like bait or a fish or something like that and expect you're going to catch things. Cats, you know, are not going to play a Tron Life Cycle game, right? Not going to do it.
Well, could be really cool.
Maybe so. Who knows? So you know, when you play with a cat and you are, you know, using a laser pointer on the ground, or you use a feather on the end of a stick or something, you know, on a string, something like that, it's those sort of natural but a little bit of a jerky movement that attracts the cat's attention and engages their sense of play.
Well, and the way I look at that is really from a user design perspective, when you're building, in this case, a mobile app that happens to be a game, you want it to be a natural extension of how they behave with that environment. So if I were creating, a game about making coffee,
yes,
interactions with the coffee bean grinder should be appropriately natural. If it's going to be a manual grinder, you ever use a manual grinder?
I'm trying to remember if I ever have. No, I've always been electric.
I've used those growing up. My parents would actually have us grind it for them. and so that would be a nice circular motion, right? Kind of
yes,
natural.
Yes.
Round the and round. Electric grinder, it would be pressing a button. So yes. So having one of those two, depending on the interface, would make sense. Having a swiping motion would make no sense whatsoever. So design your interface to be relevant to the experience you're trying to achieve, and in such a way that it engages you with a natural way.
Yes. Yes, and I have ready examples that I know I've used on shows before, so I won't go there, but that's exactly right. I think that's important. So the second piece here is on high contrast visuals. So what the article talks to is it's not entirely certain, you know, what cats can discern and what they can't, but it is known in terms of color, but it's known that they can tell, you know, differences between light and dark pretty easily. And they, in the game, tried to create high level and low level, so light and dark characteristics, so a laser pointer bright on a dark background, or a little bit of a darkly colored mouse on top of a very bright wedge of cheese. Very nice to be able to do something like that.
Yes.
So the high contrast draws your attention and makes it easy to see.
Right. So, nice. So again, a user design aspect would be focus. Make those things that you need to focus on those things that are a focus.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
One of the worst things I remember, gosh, early on the web days, designing websites with people for, you know, groups that I belonged with, where can we put an under construction thing down here with a little guy working on a construction site that just constantly moves. And I'm like, no,
awesome.
That's so annoying, right? Because that's where your eye will go, and it has nothing to do with the content you're trying to describe, right? So again, a really good recommendation, high contrast visuals, is make those things that you need to focus on the focus.
Precisely. So DLC, right? So in-app purchases.
I like this one.
Right? the last thing you'd want is for your cat to run up your iTunes purchase account because they kept on doing the buy me now, buy me now, buy me now.
Yes.
So, you know, they're saying, okay, well, how do you make it the game so that the in-app purchases can only be done by humans? So an interesting angle, right? So the security and authorization that is species relevant.
Or relevant to the task, right? Because maybe the cat should be able to at least buy, you know, an extra mouse every once in a while.
Yeah, or, you know, be able to place more cheese out there to draw more mice out of the holes, or, you know, whatever it is. Like, you know, extra batteries for the laser pointer, so when it gets dim, they can do another one.
Yeah, the interesting angle for this one, right, is if you think about it, the whole point that the article's trying to make is you don't want to, you know, piss off your users by making them do things unintentionally, right? You know, so in this case, it's obviously people were getting frustrated because as a free app, they were hoping to, you know, do a little in-app purchase. But by accidentally doing it by the cat, that would be problematic. So if you're designing a game or an experience on a device for business environment, you don't want to accidentally start tweeting out information that is confidential because you've hit the little tweet button incorrectly or accidentally. So
you know, if we think about it, you know, all I learned about programming games, I learned from programming for my cat.
Yes.
Which seems very relevant when you think about what we're talking about. I'm reminded of a story I heard earlier today where one of my colleagues moved into their new house. They had a new oven, and the oven was working intermittently.
Right? Oh, that's, you know, comforting.
Sometimes it would turn on, sometimes it wouldn't turn on. And, you know, it had this nice, you know, panel that you could press on to set the temperature, et cetera, et cetera. And they were getting really frustrated, and they called the manufacturer. You know, got a technician to come out and help them out. It's like, you know, I've just bought this oven and it costs a lot of money and it's not working. Well, what was happening is that the touch screen for the oven was designed to recognize essentially an entire fingerprint. So if you just take a look at your fingers and you can see the pad of your finger, not the tip of your finger, but the pad of your finger. They designed the controls so that you had to almost like apply a fingerprint, you know, the pad of your finger and the entirety of it to control the oven. And that was done because it was entirely too easy, amazingly so, for a cat to come by and press it and turn it on, or a child, or just inadvertently kind of brushing against would cause the oven to do things that you didn't want to do. So
what if you stuck a big greasy fingerprint on there? Would it like turn itself on and off, on and off, on and off, recognizing that fingerprint?
Don't know. But to me, this is one of these very strange, you know, user interface, user experience design things that says, well, once you realize, okay, that's how you do it, then it becomes obvious. But before that happens, it's not.
Yep.
You know?
So, I like it. So tell me about pausing for pause.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a second. So again, another species-specific activity here. You don't want to set this up so that you could have the cat inadvertently press pause, and then the mouse or the laser pointer just sits there, and they just whack at it the whole time. It's the design was to allow the human to pause, but not for the feline to pause. And so what they did here is they said, okay, you want to have the user be able to tap a particular part of the screen multiple times in rapid succession, which is probably not going to happen from the cat. But, you know, they said, well, that still happens occasionally. So
yeah, I can imagine cat, you know, I've seen a cat attack something and go, right?
Yep, I've seen that too.
And so maybe their mice are not that, they don't get caught in a corner. To where the cat might pop it a couple of times.
Exactly. And especially if the random movement of that laser pointer or mouse or whatever it is happens to go in the spot where that, you know, it's relevant too.
So I'm trying to think of this one to be a relevant to work, right? Again, it's an interface challenge on not accidentally doing something. So don't really see much pause versus DLC love changes unless you've got one.
Yeah, but it's a nice way to say, you know, I like the idea of tweeting your kitty's high score, you know, for them.
Yes.
Of course, you know, you might set it up to automatically do that for you anyway.
New and finally.
School. And last, reward.
You got to have a reward.
Reward with a sound. So, like you said before, keeping engaged and keeping focused, you know, cats like to hear that they've made an impact, right? So if the laser does something when you hit it or the mouse squeaks, that's a good thing. And that works for people too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Having something that actually recognizes that you've achieved something, right? And does so in a meaningful or at least pleasing way. You know, if you're a dog and every time you feed somebody rings a bell, you're going to love the sound of that bell.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Or in this case, it's a cat squeaking. Wait a minute, the cat listening to a mouse squeak.
Yeah, well, or you could have cats talking on there too, which might be like, okay, there's food nearby, or go away. Or
yes, and whatever. I can imagine if there were like cat sounds in the game, that would just confuse the mess out of them.
It certainly would.
Well, this has been a fun Friday quick hit episode, two in a row. That's always good to have to get the show out there and keep things going. We do want to hear your feedback on topics you would like us to talk about. We do have our Facebook page, our Google Plus page, our Twitter account, you name it, we got it. And we want to hear from you to get your feedback on the things that you are interested in as it relates to playing games at work.
You bet.
Is that it?
No, there's always more. But wait.
But wait. There's more. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and you can follow us at Twitter at GamesAtWork_BIZ. We'd like to thank the guys at Zebes Systems for their rocking version of the Moon Patrol game theme.